Well, I have at the top of the page here tonight two outlines, two titles. One is The Science of Need, and the other is How to Get Rich Quick. I'll let you decide which one we study tonight. How many would rather study The Science of Need? Would you raise your hand, please? How many would rather study How to Get Rich Quick? Would you raise your hand, please? Okay, Marry a Rich Widow. Now then, we'll go to the other study, The Science of Need. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. As you know, I've been teaching for almost a year now, probably 10 months, on the science of the Christian life. Tonight, the science of need. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the Catholic heathen do. And sometimes I make mistakes I don't mean to make, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Here's one of my text verses tonight. Be not ye therefore like unto them. And listen to this statement. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Now I'll read that very famous verse. You need not turn to it, which says in Philippians 4:19, My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We're going to come back to those verses often tonight. Our Father knoweth what you have need of before you ask. And then my God shall supply all your need. I want you to notice there's no condition there. No condition. God supplies your need because of your position. He gives you bonuses because of your condition. But God feeds his children. God takes care of his own. And God does not give us a conditional promise there. He says, my God shall supply all your need. And then he goes back down before it said, he knows before you ask what you have need of. I hope you'll listen carefully tonight, our Heavenly Father. We come to this, what I think is a wonderful study, because this is a wonderful book and you're a wonderful God. Teach us tonight some things that will help us to have a richer and fuller life. In Jesus' name, amen. I make the statement often that there's nothing I want. If you gave me a list of things, a list tonight, or gave me a piece of paper and said, make a list of things you want, I wouldn't have anything to put down on that list. If you gave me tonight a rabbit's foot and said, rub it, you can have anything you want, I'd just give it back to the rabbit. There's nothing I want. I do not know tonight of one single thing I want. If you gave me $10,000 tonight and said, go out tomorrow and spend it, I'd come back tomorrow night with $9,999.50 and a Reese's peanut butter cup. That's all I'd want to buy. I have no need to go on a shopping trip. Have no money to go on a shopping trip, because somebody lives with me that does not have the same convictions about this subject that I have. But I want to give you a few statements tonight and then teach to you a secret. And by the way, I'm a very happy man. Now, the science of need. Listen carefully. And of course, we always ask you not to take notes, but to listen. I'd rather register it in your memory than to register on your piece of paper. I think it's hard to do both. Being rich, and this is an old statement to you. You've heard me say it often. Being rich is when your haves equal your wants. That's what wealth is. Now, there are two ways that you can get rich. Being rich is your haves equaling your wants. Then there are two ways you can get rich. You can either one, get what you want, or two, want what you have. Because that's what being rich is. I never envy anybody that has things that I don't have. Because if I don't want what they have, then if I had the money they have, I wouldn't buy what they have. So I don't envy them. And by the way, neither do I feel intimidated toward those that have more pieces of paper in a bank with presidents' pictures on than I have. Or more little pieces of metal tucked away in a safety deposit box than I have. Or bigger figures on a bank account than I have. Because I'm a very wealthy man. I have all I want. Now, I say again, the secret to wealth and riches is when your wants and your haves are equal. Now, you can either get what you want, and some of you will do that. Some of you will be able to be successful in business, and you will be able to satisfy what you want. But there are others of us who will not ever be able to get what we would want if we allow our wants to run wild. So if we get wealthy, we're going to have to want what we have. Now, here's the situation. Most of us start with our wants. This is what I want. Then we say we'll try to get what we want. But this is our haves. So we take our haves and pour our haves into our wants and what we think are our needs, and we're not happy. Because our haves do not measure up to our wants or our needs. I'm going to use the word needs for that. Now, if I can pour this back, you want to pour this back to me while I keep on going. So now, when you get it all full like that, take it to the widows. That's what the deacons are supposed to do, I understand. And a boy, what a wonderful man. My hero. You spilled some. Oh, come on, man. Yeah, you can give him a hand if you'd like it. See, here's your problem. You started with your needs. And then you tried to find a job that gave you enough money to take care of your needs. And you didn't have enough to take care of your needs, and so here are your needs and here are your haves, and you're not happy. Now the truth is, the way to be happy is you start with your haves. This is what I have. And then that this is what I need. You say, "Well, the house, I need more." No, you don't need more. You need what you have. The word need is relative. Now, here is a happy man. Here is what he needs, and here is what he has. Now, somehow, you're going to have to start off with what you have. And once you start off what you have, then you decide what you need. But here are most of you right here. This is what you want or need, and you try to get what you need. You draw up your budget and then try to find enough money to make it. You don't do it that way. You have to figure out how much money you got, what your income is, and you draw up your budget according to what your income is. The budget doesn't come first. The income comes first. I know churches that have gone under because they drew up a budget and tried to raise their needs. You don't do it that way. We don't do it that way here at First Baptist Church. We draw up a budget according to what we have. And what we have, that becomes our need. But when your need exceeds your haves, you're unhappy. If you say, "Okay, I'll start off with what I have, and then I'll change what I need to meet exactly what I have," then you not only are happy, but you're also wealthy. Now I'm going to give you tonight, listen carefully as I give you six statements. First, let me back up just a bit and review just a bit that I said a while ago. God takes care of you and gives you your needs, not because you're a good Christian, but because you're a Christian. I reminded you often that said, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." When Elijah had prayed down the fire on Mount Carmel, and Jezebel said, "I'll get you and I'll kill you," Elijah ran from Jezebel and ran from the will of God. Are you listening to me now? He ran from the will of God. He went, got out under the juniper tree, and he complained and said, "I'm the only one left." Now, when he said, "I'm the only one left," he was outside the will of God. He was backslidden. But you remember, God sent an angel, and that angel supplied his need for food. Now, did God feed him because he was a good Christian at the time? No. Did God feed him because he was in his will at the time? No. Did God feed him because he was right with God at the time? No. God fed him because he was his child. When the Israelites went across the wilderness toward the promised land, they refused to go in as God wanted them to do. And the spies came back and they said, "We cannot possess the land." And the Israelites did not go in the promised land. And for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. They should have gone right on in as God led them to do. But they wandered 40 years. Were they in the will of God? No, they were not. Were they backslidden? Yes, they were. Were they refusing to obey God? Yes, they were. But God fed them every morning with manna from heaven because they were his children. Now, God will give you his power because of your condition. He'll give you your needs because of your position. God provides for his own people. You recall when Jonah was, listen to me now, when Jonah was in the called by God to go to Nineveh, Jonah refused to go to Nineveh. He left the will of God. He caught a boat and was cast off the boat and cast into the water. Now, was Jonah right with God? No, he was not right with God. Was Jonah in the will of God? No, he was not in the will of God. Was Jonah living a backslidden life? Yes, he was living a backslidden life. Was Jonah obedient to God's command? No, quite the contrary. He was disobedient to God's command. And yet God provided for him a place. It was not the Waldorf Astoria. It was sort of a fishy situation. But the water was leaking some. But he cared for him in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. Now listen to me carefully. And by the way, did you know the Bible has the answers? And if you would listen, you would find some of the answers. And quit looking around and talking, you'd find some of the answers. The Bible has the answers. Now I'm going to give you tonight what you saw a while ago. That's one of the answers. Absolutely one of the answers. I won't. No, you want what you've got and you'll be happy. But I need. No, you don't need. I want to reason with you. Number one, I do not know my needs. I do not know my needs. You say, "Brother Howells, I have certain needs that must be supplied." You don't know whether you have them or not, because you don't know your needs. I do not know my needs, and you do not know your needs. Number two, God knows my needs. It says in Matthew 6:8, "Before I ask him, he knows what I need." All right, do I know my needs? Yes or no? Yes or no? Do you know your needs? Yes or no? Yes or no? All right, does God know your needs? Yes or no? All right, number one, I said, I do not know my needs. Number two, I said, God knows my needs. And number three, God loves me. God loves me. Now, you can take it from there. If God knows my needs and I don't know my needs and God loves me, then if he loves me, number four, he will supply my needs. Is that right? Anybody listening? He will supply my needs. I do not know my needs. Say that. I do not know my needs. Say it again. I do not know my needs, but God knows my needs. Say that. But God knows my needs. Say it again. But God knows my needs. And God loves me. Say it. God loves me. Say it again. God loves me. All right. If I do not know my needs, then I don't know what to ask for, because I don't know what they are. God does know my needs, and God loves me, then he will supply my needs, because I'm his child. But you say, "I'm a backslider." Didn't say that. Didn't say, "My God shall supply all of the good Christian's needs." Didn't say, "My God shall supply all of the Christian's needs who are in his will."
My God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All right? I do not know my needs, said. I do not know my needs, but God knows my needs, said. God knows my needs, and God loves me, said. So he will supply my needs, said. All right, now listen carefully. Number five, he gave me what I have. He gave me what I have. Number six, so what I have is what I need. Now, if that's not logic, I don't know logic. I said, I do not know my needs. God knows my needs. God loves me. So God will supply my needs. He gave me what I have. So what I have is what I need. You know how much I need? That much. But you say, I've drawn up my budget for the house, and my budget is that much. You don't draw your budget up till you see what you got in the jar there. You start right there. You don't say, okay, these are my needs. Let me answer, I got to have three jobs, the wife's got to have two jobs, and all the kids got to have a job and a hand. yeah, but see, what your need is, what you think your need is a four-bedroom, two-and-a-half bath, double garage. That's what you think your need is. But you don't know what your need is. You know what your need is? If you got six kids and one room, that's what you need. Are you God's child? Yes or no? Does God know what you need? Yes or no? Does God love you? Yes or no? Okay, did God give you what you have? Yes or no? Then what you have is what you need. Oh, you're dumb. But I'm simply saying, that's what you need. Because God happens to love you, and you are his child. But you said, for the house, I figured out my budget, and this is what we have to have. No, this is what you have to have. Because God gave you what your needs are. Does the Bible say, my God will sometimes supply all your need? Does the Bible say, my God will oftentimes supply all your need? Does it say, I'll supply all the needs of those that are good Christians? Oh, I know what it says. My God shall supply all a preacher's needs. No. My God shall supply all your needs. 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 Now, I said again, I do not know my needs. God knows my needs. God loves me, so he will supply my needs. He gave me what I have, so what I have is what I need. All right? So look at your old man right there. Look at him and say, you're what I need. Now, I wouldn't have thought that. Okay, ladies, look at your old man. Look at him and say, you're what I need. Come on. I said, look at him and say, you're what I need. I didn't have to say want. Just say need. Okay, look at me. That is your problem with your marriage. This is what you want in a husband. Big and fat. This is what some of you got. This is what you got in a husband. Now look at me now. This is your problem. And by the way, it's same thing for you men. Okie dokie. So, but you said, Lord, that's one reason why I do not think that young people ought to write down what they're looking for in a mate. God knows what you need. God, you don't know what you need. God loves you. And if he loves you, he will supply your need. So you start not with what you think you need. You know, oftentimes, young ladies come to me, and they say, Brother Howells, would you look at this list, please? It's a list of things I'm looking for in a husband. And I always tell them the same thing. I'm already taken. And then a young man will come to me and say, this is what I'm looking for in a wife. I always say to him, you better hope she doesn't have a list like that. Because you're not going to qualify. But I'm saying, look, you don't come to God and say, this is what I need. No, you don't do that. He knows what you need. So since he loves you, you don't start with this. You start with this. And then you come back and say, okay, now, if this is what I have, which is what I need? This is what I need right here. But see, what you do is you start with your need. This is what I need, and I'm looking what I need. Now, you're assuming that you know more than God does. You are deciding what you need. There's not one single person in this room that knows what he needs. So you say, this is what I need. And then, this is what you get. And then you say, and I hear you again and again, he just doesn't fill my needs. You don't know what your needs are. Won't you shut your trap? You're not smarter than God is. You're putting yourself up against an omniscient, omnipotent God and saying, I know what I need, and God does. No, you don't. God knows what you need. You don't know what you need. Now look at him and be satisfied with him. If you can. And the same thing's true about that gal. The truth is, some of you said, this is what I need, and this is what you got. But you see, even if you say, this is what I need, that's not wise. Because you are saying, what I need is here, and I don't know how much I'm going to get. So you don't start with this or this. You start with this. Now, the unhappily married people, this is you. This is your need, and this is your have. The same thing is true about you folks in financial condition, financial trouble. You say, this is how much I have to have. And so, this is how much I have. You say, these are my needs. No, no, you can always buy JCPenney or Jacques-Penay instead of Marshall Field. Or you can always buy at Goodwill instead of JCPenney. I'm simply saying that whatever you have is what you need, because God knows what you need, and God loves you, and you don't know what you need, and God gave you what you have, so what you have is what you need. But here's what you do. This is what you have. This is what you need, you think, and this is what you have. So here's what you do. Trying to fill up with that little thing right there what you don't need. Now, I have an American Express credit card because I have to have. I travel. You can't rent a car without an American Express credit card. This is an American Express Platinum credit card. I just want you to know what kind of preacher you've got. And you ain't got no cheap fella for a preacher, folks. But I mean, I have to have one. But your problem is it's time to start the school. These are the needs of my children considering school clothes. No, they aren't. Not if this is what you have. If all you can afford is this, you go down to Goodwill and you get something. What's the other place that has this? Well, you go to Amvest, you get some stuff there. All right, ladies, let me give you a listen to me now. Let me give you a new word. Sewing. Sewing. My wife grew up wearing feed sacks, and they fit perfectly. They didn't come out right, did it? All of a sudden, I have some needs I didn't have a minute ago. My wife's father ran a feed store. Her mother took the feed sacks. They used to have, they had print a pattern on the feed sack. Her mother took the feed sacks, and my wife grew up wearing clothes made from feed sacks. Of course, that's beneath your dignity. You let that teenage girl of yours bankrupt you. Or that teenage boy bankrupt you. Now listen. What you need to do is sit down and look at your family in the eyeball and say, that's what we have, and that's what we need, and that's all we're going to spend. We're not going to put this over here so we can fill this up, because this is going to come due one of these days. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing in the world that's corrupting America. The whole credit card, whole credit card philosophy is, this is what I need, and this is what I have. So I'll add my credit card to it. Now, the honest, simple truth is, there was a day when America had enough character where we didn't start off with that. We started off with this and said, if that's what we have, then that's what we need. Now, it may be that we drove a Model T Ford, or maybe that we had to ride a bus or a streetcar. Or it may be we had to ride a bicycle. Or it may be we had five kids in one room. Or it may be we had a two-room apartment. And now, you say, you take on me. As you say, oh, we got to have 2.5 baths. Now, personally, I never take a half a bath. But got to have 2.5 baths. Listen, you should have seen what we had. We had a telephone booth out in the backyard with a light that wouldn't work and called an outhouse. We were a little fancy. We had a two-holer, but we had an outhouse. And that's what we needed. We had a well off the back porch. We had kerosene lamps and lanterns. We burned a wood stove. You say, Brother Hiles, our utility bills cost $200 a month. Well, if you don't have $200 a month, then what you do is you say, this is what we have, and so we'll figure out how to keep the house warm with what we have. So, you look at the old man and say, you're exactly what I need. Now, listen to me carefully. He is what you need, and she is what you need, because she is what you have. So look at her and tell her, you're what I need. And you tell him, you're what I need. There's some insincerity about that whole thing going on down there. But that's the truth. Listen, America is miserable tonight because of that. That's the story of America. I was at a store, when was it? Oh, yesterday. Yeah, those things happened a long time ago, I forget. I was at a store yesterday. Ladies and gentlemen, you should have seen. I was behind a female. All I wanted to do was buy 2 papers. National Enquirer. But anyway, just 2 papers. I was waiting in line. And she, you should have seen the stakes that she had stacked up there. I mean, I never saw anything like that. She had at least a stack of 10 steaks stacked up. I mean, big boogers, too. Big steaks. And stacked up there, like that. I thought, my soul, she must be a wealthy lady. Until she got out her food stamp. And I said to her, I hope you enjoy the food I'm buying you. Now, the truth is, if she doesn't have that, she thinks that's what she needs. Now, what she ought to do is figure out what she has and then decide what she needs. There are people all over this room tonight concerning your house. Hey, if this is the house you have, go home and look at it and say, you're what I need. I had a little time to drive this afternoon, and I drove around about 30 minutes from the college. I got out early and I just drove around. Drove out in South Lake County. And I saw all the building going on out there. Nobody's building houses we need. Nobody. That I do not know of a single building project in Lake County, Indiana that's building our needs. They're building our wants. And so people are saying, this is what I want. And this is what I have. Now, if you have one of those $500,000 houses, more power to you, if you can afford it. But the truth is, the average couple that has those houses, they're buying those houses so that the wife can work too, so they never get to live in the houses. I'm not saying it's wrong for a wife to work. I am saying it is wrong for you to live outside your means. That's what's wrong with America. That's the whole trouble with America. We've said, this is what we need. And so, what do we do? This is what we have. So what do? We'll go in debt. Billions and trillions of dollars and spend our grandkids and great-grandkids' money so they'll have a famine and a depression someday and starve to death so we can feed our fat guts now, because these are our needs. These are not our needs. These are our needs. Now, what I think I need is not what I need, because I don't know what I need. So you look at your house and say, you're what I need. I do not know my needs. God knows my needs. God loves me. God will supply my needs. God gave me what I have. So look at that house and say, you're what I need. Go out tonight in the parking lot and look at that old car. and look at it and say, you're what I need. You're all I can afford. You're what I need. I don't know what I need. God knows what I need. God loves me. He promised to supply my needs. This is what He supplied, so this is what I need. Look at your income tonight and say, this is what I need. God, I don't know what I need. God knows what I need. God loves me. God told me He'd supply my needs. This is what God gave me. And if God's promised to supply my needs, and this is what He supplied, then this income is what I need. But you say, wait a minute. It won't pay all my bills. Well, you wait a minute. Quit making all those bills. I don't draw. You don't draw up a budget and try to reach it. You don't decide what you need in a mate and try to find him. You don't decide what you need in a house and try to find it. Let me remind you where Paul was when he wrote. When Paul wrote, my God shall supply all my need, according your need, according to riches and glory, Paul was in jail. Paul did not have a condominium on the Gold Coast in Chicago. Paul did not have a $500,000 house in South Lake County. Paul did not have a $250,000 condominium in Munster. Paul had a jail cell, and we have been at that very spot. It's about the size, less smaller than this platform, down under the ground with a hole, and then down under that was a dungeon, and there was no heat, and there was no electricity, and no heat at all, light, maybe of a candle or something. And Paul was in that prison, and Paul was saying, I don't know what I need. God knows what I need. He loves me. He said He would supply my need. So this must be what I need. Paul needed to be in jail. You know what I said? Paul's need was a jail cell. Well, you say, how do you reason? I don't have to reason. I just read the Bible. And Paul sat there in the jail cell, hundreds of miles from home, damp, cold, and said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now, why was the word content mean sufficient? Why was he content? Because the first thing he did was said, this is what I have. And the second thing he said, then this is what I need. So Paul said, I have that, and this is what I need. And so, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And I'll promise you, ladies and gentlemen, the happiest people in this room tonight are the people who are doing exactly what I'm doing right now. This is my wife. This is my husband. This is my income. This is my house. And this is my job. Now, they are the happy people. Now, the unhappy people are the people who said, these are my needs, and these are my haves. Now, you watch that, and you compare it to that. When Paul said, when David said, my cup runneth over with joy, he didn't tell us how big his cup was. I'd rather have that cup running over than that cup one fifth full. But there you sit tonight. I don't know how you're going to make ends meet. I know how you're going to make ends meet if you ever make them meet. Because look, whenever you get that full, you're going to get a bigger one. Your problem is not you don't have your needs. Your problem is your needs increase every time they're met. But how about my heartache? How about my heartache? Okay, you have a heartache. So do I. I don't know my needs. God knows my needs. God loves me. He promised to supply my needs. That means He gave me what I have. And that means I need this heartache. Are you listening to me? Yeah. I have to say it. He loves me. I'm His child. He promised me unconditionally to supply my needs, then I have to believe this heartache is what I need. Brother Hiles, how about your battles? How about all the battles you've had in your ministry all these 46 years? I don't know my needs. He knows my needs. He loves me. He promised to supply my needs. He gave me the battles. So I need the battles. And so do you, if he gave them to you. Well, how do I know I need these battles? If you have them, you need them. If you're his child, that's what you need. You see, you think you need plenty, but sometimes you need little. You think you need health, but sometimes you need illness. No, Oral Roberts notwithstanding. You think you need laughter. Sometimes you need tears. You think you need your heart mended. Sometimes you need a heart that's aching. But how about my loneliness? I need a husband. Oh, I don't. I need a husband. Wait a minute. Hold it now. Hold it now. You don't know your needs. God knows your needs. God loves you. He promised because he loves you to supply your needs. He gave you what you have. That means what you need right now is loneliness. We are only able to equate needs with positives. But we need negatives as well as in positives. We need tears as well as laughter. We need defeats as well as victory. We need heartache as well as joy. We need troubles as well as prosperity. And God happens to know what you need right now. So every heartache, battle, and trouble I've had, I need it. I don't know why, but I needed them. Matthew 6:8 proves it. He knows what my needs are before I ask. He will supply my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now listen carefully, I'll be through. When my daddy came home drunk at night after night, starved us to death almost, that was what I needed. Now, if you'd asked me then, is that what you need? I'd said, don't think so. Wait a minute. Listen carefully. All of the City Baptist kids, stand up right now, would you? If you're here tonight, City Baptist kids. There are a few of them here because... All right, now I want to tell you something. You wouldn't have had a school to go to or a bus to ride if I hadn't have been a poor kid in the ghettos of Southwest Dallas. I know now, thank you, I know now why I needed to be poor. But even then, I should have known. God loves me. I don't know what I need. He knows what I need. He loves me. He gave me what I have. What I have must be what I need. Now, listen carefully. After you've lived for 76, 67, I forgot which it is. It's those two numbers. After you've lived for 67 years, now listen carefully, you can see enough of what you thought you needed was not what you needed, and what you didn't think you needed was what you needed. And you can see enough of how it turns out to realize that God is able to give you what you need. That's what the old John Newton said, meant when he said, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Now that means tonight, you just sit back snugly wherever you are, if you're God's child. Just sit back snugly. Drive by that $500,000 house on the way to your $75 a month garage apartment and stop out in front and say, you poor fools, it's a foreign debt you'll never get out. And drive on to your little place and look at it as you walk in and say, this is what we need. This is what we need. You look at that husband that weighed 175 30 years ago, weighs 375 now. You look at him and say, let me go on to another illustration. You look at him and say, that's what I need. God gave him to you. Your circumstances in life
what you need. So, tonight, instead of taking it out and saying, that's what I need, you simply take it out and say, that's what I have. And if that's what I have, then that's what I need. For the miserable folks in this room tonight, and by the way, most of your problems, heartaches, and trials, are because you think you know what you need. Brother Hiles, you don't understand what's happened in my family. I know if you're God's child, He knows your needs. He loves you. He promised to supply your needs. Then that means He gave you what you have. So what you have is what you need. So, that's the way you get rich. You can. There are a lot of people tonight in this room who make $300 a week, who are more wealthy than folks in this room tonight who make $3,000 a week. By the way, to those who make $3,000 a week, I'd like to see you after the service in the office. But there are people tonight who make $300 a week that are richer, more wealthy, than people that make $3,000 a week. You know why that is? I tell you what, some of these days, and I happen to know this, that man right there, Jeff Owens, do you have a credit card? Are you in debt? Will you buy anything you can't afford? No. No, that man's got, what, three, four children. He's got four children. But they don't buy anything they can't afford. That's why his wife is still wearing a white dress with a veil on it. A little tight, but... Ooh! You say, Brother Hiles, it's easy for you to say what you're saying. You have a lovely home. Yeah, we do. You provided it for us. We didn't choose it. But we're just as happy we had that little apartment. But Miss Hiles didn't have a washing machine and didn't even have a sink in the kitchen. When she washed her clothes, she went into the bathroom and she got on her knees with a rub board and ran some water in the bathtub and got the clothes and took that rub board and rubbed those clothes against that rub board to get them clean, squeezed them out, put them beside her there on the bathroom floor, drained the bathtub, filled the bathtub up with water, put the soapy clothes back in and rinsed them, and then squeezed them out with her hand, put them down beside her, on her knees, drained the bathtub again, put some water in, and rinsed them again, then went downstairs, apartments upstairs, then went downstairs to the clothesline in the back and put the clothes on the clothesline. Now then, she just puts some clothes in the machine. She tells the machine how she wants them done. Machine says, yes, ma'am. But do you know, the happiest people I know are not the people that have the most. They're the people that need the least. And I don't care what you've got. Look, if what you have fills this up, then you get one just like it and put it over here and live it up. But you're going to be miserable as long as these are your needs and these are your haves. Shall we stand, please?